echoey, a little bit loud. I thought it was okay. Thank you, Lord. Is that okay?
When you look over where your mic is, I think that's what gets louder.
How's it now?
It's good.
Okay. All right. Are we going? All right. Wednesday evening, 6:28:23. We're going to look at myths, M-Y-T-H-S, and legends. Myths and legends tonight. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 1, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables there, just in my concordance in this Bible here, is myths or legends. Yeah. All right, we're going to break it down a little bit. Doctrine right here, we're looking at these words out of the Strong's, is instruction. The Word of God is sound doctrine that shows you how you're supposed to do things, how you're supposed to live. That's why Jesus appointed 12 apostles, is to go in and bring sound doctrine. And of course, the prophets. So that they could know, this is what you do about these things. We see that in Paul especially. I mean, he was always exhorting, correcting, setting things in order, all right? So it tells one how to live according to the scriptures. All right, reprove there is to tell a fault or a rebuke. Like Paul with the man that was taken in incest with his stepmother, he wrote a letter. And it was very harsh. They kicked him out of the church. Then later, he said, okay, lest he gets too grieved and he absolutely leaves the faith, welcome him back in as a brother. But there was a time of kind of, I've seen this before, heard this before. Well, one of the ministers got an indiscretion, so they stepped down for a while. Yeah. All right. All right, rebuke means to censor. You know, we've heard that a lot, Congress, censoring Shifty Schiff. Censor means we're going to do an investigation on you. In other words, we're not happy with your behavior, so we're going to censor you. It's a strong rebuke, a censor. All right, it means to admonish or forbid. We don't like your behavior, and we're not going to put up with it anymore. All right. Tell one how to correct it is exhort. That's how you comfort someone that has been censored. You exhort them. Yeah, okay. Doctrine tells you what to believe. Reproof shows what is wrong. Correction or reproof shows how to correct it. Exhort or instruction in righteousness tells one how to live. Period. Okay? 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 there. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure. This is out of the Amplified. Endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. That's fables in the King James Version. Myths are legends. We've heard a lot of that, haven't we? Yeah. Sometimes you think, you know what? They've lied to us about everything. Or is that what they say? They've lied to us about everything. So what's made up and what's true? You know, how are you going to find out? Well, this is my theory, and this is one that I've used. And I haven't just been in the ministry a few weeks. Is if you can't find it in here, I'd reject it. If you can't base it in Scripture, every rabbit hole the Lord has taken me down, He's shown me Scripture to prove it out. Everything. Not one thing. Some He did, some He didn't. No, all of it. All of it. Scripture to back it up. That's why it clears away the confusion and all the many voices that you're hearing out there in the world. It clears it up completely. I'd stay with the Word over anybody else or anything else. All right. It seems the more fantastic they sound, the more popular they are. They sound so convincing. Christians find the Bible boring, so it's easier to believe myths and legends. It's easier to say, well, they messed with it, so now I don't have to read it at all. Right? Well, I've heard one at least say that. Yeah. The more outlandish, the better. They are more used to being lied to than knowing the truth. All these things out there that you hear, they'll just believe it, hook, line, and sinker. But they'll cast away the Word. Oh, no, I don't believe that. But I believe this fairy tale. Well, what kind of culture have we been in? Set under a projector? Been projected to what we are to think? What we are to believe? Easy peasy? Entertainment? Yeah, you can see why. Okay. Yeah, it's work to study. It's work to prove yourself a workman. It is. It's not easy. I'd be the first to agree. There's times I don't want to read my Word, but I read it. It's a daily part of my life, and that's just the way it is. That's the way it'll have to be from now on. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but that's okay. I preach it to you, go preach it to somebody else. All right, 3:16. That He may grant you, this is one of the Ephesians prayers, a part of it, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What is the Bible? It's for the spirit man. The Word of God is to build up a spirit man. I remember one of my granddaughters saying, well, I just don't understand it. Well, more than one, actually. I just don't understand it. I said, you don't have to understand it. I said, it's for your spirit man. Your spirit understands it. And I said, and after you do it a while, you'll have some understanding come to your mind as a result of it. It'll renew your mind. But you gotta, it's for your spirit. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Yeah, flat earth. See, that your knowledge of God and who He is and how He is grows. But it's spiritual. It's a spiritual growth. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that the key? Filled with all the fullness of God. You don't have a shadow of a doubt about, doesn't matter what you're hearing or even seeing, you know what the Word of God says, and it keeps you steady. Keeps you strong. Right here, rooted means to become stable. That's why the apostles and prophets talk about that you're no longer, Ephesians 4, talks about you're no longer tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Right? That's the goal. All right, grounded means erect or settled. Just think about a tree, strong tree. Yeah? All right, look at Colossians chapter 2. Like I said, you let go of the words, you let go of Jesus. He's the Word. Colossians 2:6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Isn't that myths and legends? And vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So God knows all. So when you stay with the Word, he will teach you all that you need to know. That's our goal. Let me read it again. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not traditions of men, not philosophies of vain deceit, not after the rudiments of the world. Rooted here means become stable, just like in Ephesians. All right, Ephesians 4:14. That's probably what I quoted a while ago. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Don't think for a minute Satan's not pushing his narrative. His deep state's being taken out, but he's still working. And he will blab his mouth until he's put in the pit. This is what we are seeing and hearing that is blowing throughout the earth, the word of wind, strong word, hot air, I like to think, that's blowing, that people are listening to, that's turning their heads. This narrative has deceived the whole world, if you hadn't noticed, except for a few. Here, the word wind here, it indicates the four quarters of the earth. I looked it up in the Strong's, I think. It talked about the four corners of the earth. This wind, this doctrine. Well, that pretty well covers it, doesn't it? There are virtual round tables everywhere. Sometimes they have 20 people on it. I mean, they're from all over the world, and they're discussing these fables, these myths. Some are letting a little truth out, a little truth's getting through. But for the most part, they've bought into Satan's narrative. All over the world, all these round tables, talking heads all over the world. They're not talking sound doctrine. They might say, you know, they're Christians, but, you know, they all pretty well agree that the Word of God's been compromised. But, you know, their fantastical decodes and the things they do gets lots of followers. Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. 2 Timothy 3. Starting with verse 1 there. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, for such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This last week, I forget what state it was in, that gay thing. Was that in D.C.?
Yes.
Thankfully, the pictures we saw, it was from a distance. But they're completely nude men showing all of their junk. And there's children there. They're all painted up and colored and got little jewels hanging off their little ding-a-ling. I'm telling you, it's the sickest thing. And I'm thinking, look how depraved they are. And children present. I'm thinking, what kind of parent would bring their child out to something like that? In fact, somebody that I listened to, he was just given a news report. He had somebody write into him and say, or send an email, that they indeed were gay, but they are not behind this agenda, and they don't believe in this stuff that's going on, and they don't believe all they're doing to the children, all of that. I said, we don't buy into any of that. We just are decent people, you know, which I'm going, well, if you're decent, why would you be homosexual? That's not decent. But there are gays out there that very much oppose hurting children, very much oppose the child and human trafficking, very much oppose the transgender agenda. That really do just want to, not asking for people to approve of them. This is just the lifestyle they've chosen, and they're not hurting anybody, basically.
Yeah.
What an insult to our Heavenly Father. Sodom and Gomorrah could not have been any worse than that, I don't think. I mean, in our state capital of all places, our national capital. All right. Do you even think for a moment that God could not keep his word intact? Think about it. Do you think the God of the universe that knows all, I hate to even say universe, the God of heaven and earth, and all that is, created all things, could not keep his word intact? It's kind of naive to think that's not a very powerful God if he could not keep his word intact. All right. He sent Jesus, the Word of God. We're born again, and we are like living epistles. We have got the Word of God in us, that Creator inside of us. There's no way we're ever going to forget it unless we just turn our back and walk away. Okay. Epistles written on our hearts. This is 2 Corinthians 3. I want you to have confidence no matter what you hear, because they're the ones that are messed up, not you. All right, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Now that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Just remember, Jesus said, cast down this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. This is totally a spiritual house. If the body of Christ had followed the Spirit, we wouldn't have a problem today. No problem. They would know it's a spiritual house. It's because of, what do you call it, doctrines of men and religious institutions, See, they infiltrated that. I hear people say, well, they've infiltrated the church. No, they haven't. Not the true church. They have infiltrated religious institutions. Have you noticed that as technology has advanced, we're seeing more evidence of these legends and myths coming out? The Bible stands above any other document, for it is alive. It has been inspired by God. It is full of power and has been personified by Jesus Christ. He is the Word. All right, a few more scriptures. John. I think that's John 15. I don't think I put John/5, so I'm just taking it that it's John chapter 1. I'm sure it is.
Chapter 1 or 15?
1. All right. Verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They still don't comprehend it. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the truth. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. In fact, I talk. If I listen to somebody and they say something that's not right, I correct them right there. I speak the words. I speak those words. They're not going to get by with it. Now, they might not, they're not hearing me, but I'm speaking it into the atmosphere. No, that's false. That's a false doctrine. All right, 2 Peter 1. 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of people say, well, it's just written by men. Just written by men. You know, it's just written by men. Holy men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What are fables? It's fake news. It's a fable. It's not true. All of Satan's made up false doctrines to get you to let go of God's Word. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. I've touched on some of them, but I want to go through all of them. These all have the word fable in them. 1 Timothy 1:4. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. It does. It just brings confusion, more questions, more. Well, if they lied about that, then this, more questions, and they lied about this, more questions. 1 Timothy 4:7. Read this while ago. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Second 2 Timothy 4:4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. There's that myths and legends. Titus 1:14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yeah, eyewitnesses. Fables, they're a state, fiction, or myth. People that have once walked with God have now given heed to doctrines of devils. It's just plain and simple. It's a mess. I mean, just think about it. Even back when President Trump first got in office, you didn't hear all of this stuff. It's like it just came out of the woodwork from everywhere. That lets you know. They said, well, it was all covered up. Well, maybe that's true. No, no. Back to 1 Timothy 4. Says here, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, verse 1, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Isn't that what mythology is? Oh, they're saying now, well, you know, God is actually Zeus. And, you know, all these gods and all these movies, all these, you know, mythology and all of that, they're saying all this really happened. They are. I'm not. They are. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanded to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused but be received with thanksgiving. Then why are they constantly pushing? Your water's poison, your food is poison. Everywhere you look, it's some new poison, some new way they're killing you. You know what the biggest lie is? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's the biggest lie. What are they doing? They want to scare you, so you start saying it. Start believing it. For every creature of God is good, nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Pray over it. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. I'm a good minister of Jesus Christ. Okay. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself further unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. One day, I was reading something. It's been some months back. All those years, they push fiber, fiber, fiber. Got to have fiber, 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 fiber. And this person was saying, actually, it messes up your system. I thought, I said, have they told their truth about anything? Anything at all? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. This passage here. All right. One of the things that these people have added to what God's Word says about making blanket statements, they'll say, well, I don't care what you are. If you're gay, transgender, who cares? Just it's that inclusive narrative being pushed. And these are Christians. They're living under the fallacy that, you know, when sin is sin, you openly rebuke it. front of everybody so everybody learns. You don't do this sound doctrine. You don't act like this. Oh, no, anything goes. We just want to love everybody. We don't want to offend anybody. This is a demonic doctrine. Doesn't sound it, does it? Well, we can't hurt their feelings. Well, I wonder if they went to hell and you didn't tell them, who cares about their feelings? I don't. Am I supposed to accommodate you and your sin? No, you're not. In fact, in the proper setting, you're supposed to call it out. It's not acceptable. What does it do? Spreads like gangrene. All right. Where was I? All right. It is nothing but a compromise. It's not just the weak-willed, silly women, is it? It's men, too. See, Eve was deceived. And that's what Paul said, just like the serpent beguiled Eve. My greatest fear, really, is what he was saying, is when I leave, you're going to just revert back like the dog to the vomit. Sound doctrine. Once you start to compromise, it's like a landslide. You compromise on one thing, you'll compromise on another. And it'll just keep going till you'll look up and think, how in the world did I get here? You let go of the word. You let go of sound doctrine. All right, Genesis 1 tells us plainly God's creation shows us we put kind with kind, male and we created male and female, and it didn't matter what it was, what kind of animal. From what the original is probably, if it's a Hereford, then it's a male and female Hereford. It's a big thing, and it has been for a long time. We transplant everything, as if God didn't know what he was doing. Same thing with the synthetics, with cotton and linen and wool, you know, fabrics. That's what old covenant, you know, that's what God laid down for them. Why? He's trying to get them to obey him. I guess he's looking to see if they'd obey him. Romans 1 clearly lays out, it talks about the creation in Romans 1 and about a world out of order, homosexuality rampant. If somebody comes up to you and say, well, homosexuality is not in the New Testament, you tell them, go read Romans chapter 1, starting about verse 16. It says, just looking at creation, it plainly shows God's creation and how he set everything up. Just watch the animals. They're not stupid. I don't see anything, but I don't see birds mixing. I see, like I saw Mr. and Miss Robbie yesterday, the robins. They've been coming around. They must be eating the grubs because they go over there on the side of the building. Anyway, they don't seem to have a problem with it. I see doves together, but I don't see... Now, I did see the ground squirrel and the grackle side by side a while ago, but I don't think that has anything to do with it. See, the animals, it's kind, male and female of the kind. It's by instinct. That's the way God made it. All right, let's read that in Romans 1. We won't read the whole thing, but it's plainly laid out. And if, you know, it's simple. It's not hard to understand. This isn't rocket science. All right, let me see here. Let me find it. That's 1, not 16. All right. Let me just start with 18 right here. Paul's talking about he's not ashamed of the gospel. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. How God made it in the beginning. Nothing has changed. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Naked men walking around the street, all painted up in a parade. Vain imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. That's what they worship. If you look at what they worship, look at Baphomet. Goat. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, is blessed forever. Amen. Yesterday when I was doing television, I nearly hollered. I don't know what Sean was thinking. He thought, whew, I might need to get out of here. But I was saying, God didn't do this. The atrocities we're seeing. And I said, the devil can't have Sunday, or he can't have Saturday. He can't have Christmas. He can't have Easter. He can't have anything. Nothing. Don't let him have anything. He's tried to take everything. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. There it is, nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. They're singing a song that says, we are gay and we're coming after children, we're trans, however they put it. They're singing a song, playing music, and they're singing this song. We're transgender and we're queer, we're coming after your children. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. There was something today I saw, it was kind of a news thing they posted. One of the states, California, I believe, that if you deny your child transgender surgery, then they can take your kids from you. Yeah. It's ridiculous, but they're going to push it through. Like I said, the devil ain't going to quit till he's in the pit. And that's not a rhyme, but it did rhyme. Yeah. Here's what God, through sound doctrine, says is acceptable. What he laid down. Kind with kind. Male and female, created in his image. Just go read through the Old Testament, especially how tolerant God was with these nations that did these things. They'd be all dead. Sodom and Gomorrah. Tyre, Babel. Egypt. See, when they started touching the babies, Pharaoh started killing the babies. Told the midwives, and let you kill the boys. That's why his mother had to hide him. See, when you start touching the babies, in Jesus' day, what happened? Herod started touching the babies. What's happening today? They've been touching the babies for 70 years. harvesting the babies, their organs, their blood, you name it. All right. The biggest lie ever told is that God can't preserve His word. His word upholds all things by the word of His power. And that's, nothing's going to change that. Nothing. Men might let loose of it, but that's not going to change it. Just because they decide to believe another narrative, that's not going to change it. All right. I know that everyone is ready for the truth to come out, like full disclosure, you know. It's been pushing our face just how dangerous the deep state is, the devil's bunch, but I believe the worst threat is people speaking the wrong words, because death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's the big lie right there, the biggest part of it. All the fake news is to get the people off the earth and off God's word and onto this narrative. All the fake news about the Bible being incomplete and no good anymore has caused many Christians to waver. This is what happened to Eve in the garden. This is what Paul said before he died was his greatest fear. That's just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that he would also do it to us. Satan is no dummy. He has conquered many worlds just like this. This is why we must be rooted and grounded in God's word, so that we will not be swayed from sound doctrine and follow myths and legends and fables. All right.